the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's epistle and today's New Testament reading both come from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians. It speaks of putting on the heart of compassion. In modern English, the heart is used as a symbol of love, as in all those red and pink things that cropped up in stores right after Christmas. The heart is a poetic shortcut to love, a type of metaphor for Hallmark feelings. But for people in the Bible, love was more than mental or emotional. To them, human beings were created by God as a united expression of body, mind, and spirit. If you separated any one from the other, all you'd have left is a corpse. The ancient people were right. They had divine revelation on their side. In modern times, we assume we have to understand something before we can know it. They, on the other hand, knew something first and trusted in God who reveals it before they could even begin to understand it. In Colossians, St. Paul means more than love or a heart of compassion. As the great Reverend Lou Tarsitano once put it, God expects us to call up every kind of mercy, even for those we do not approve of or for those we have made themselves our enemy. From everything that is in us, from everything that makes us who we are. God expects us to be living examples of love and not just think about it. Love is especially for those whom we think do not deserve our love. So why should St. Paul, speaking for the Holy Ghost, command us to do this? The complete answer is this: even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And it's as simple as that. We do not deserve to be forgiven, and if we take it back a little bit further, we don't even deserve to exist. We were created, even though in his infinite wisdom, God knew that we would almost immediately rebel against him. He loved us anyway, and he forgave us anyway. Jesus Christ, in his leading a perfect human life, showed us how, in the image of God, he could let us see the character of God. And what he showed us is exactly what St. Paul dictates to us this morning. He showed us kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And that's in order to forgive us, and in turn, to forgive others. This is our calling as Christians, the elect of God, those chosen to have eternal life, to try to be exactly as Jesus Christ is. And we need to do this in a practical and practiced manner, weighing our speeches and actions on the scale of kindness. This outlook is especially important when interacting with those with whom we don't necessarily agree. I have had a good friend over 30 years. Her name is Amanda. We raised our kids together, we went to church together, and generally helped each other through some pretty tough times. Even though we now live on the opposite side of town, we get together 3 or 4 times a year. We exchange stories about our kids, we bring each other up to date about mutual friends, and we discuss politics. In each of each other's eyes, we have just one major flaw. We are on opposite ends of the political spectrum. I'll leave it to you to figure out which one of us is on which side. We will never convince the other that our particular worldview is correct, but we will always love and respect each other. We live in a sinful and dangerous world. Many people have simply lost their way, as the events of the last couple of weeks have so painfully illustrated. In the final analysis, God himself will decide the fate of each one of us. But we're not called to argue with those with whom we disagree, although Amanda and I have gotten to some pretty good doozies over the year. And you can argue with all your might, and you will not change their minds. Right, David? But if you become long-suffering and forbearing one another and treating each other with kindness, just might change their hearts. Amen.
Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."